Hi guys, welcome to the Outfitter Connection podcast. Today we have on Chris Leonard with Outlawed Taxidermy and Lone Creek Ranch. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, haven't you?
I'm doing all right. This is a beautiful ranch. I get so excited every time you call and ask me to come out here and hang out or help out or whatever you need. So, Chris, why don't you kind of start off with telling everybody you've been guiding and outfitting for a while, and then you've also started up a taxidermy studio within the last 2, 3 years.
Right. Well, we did taxidermy for just our clients, and then here this past April, we started up with opening it up to everybody.
I got you.
So it's been officially going since April of 2022, open to the public, but it's been going on for years before that, just for the clients, from me throughout the years from guiding.
Awesome. So you got your start in the outdoor industry from guiding, right? Or did you just kind of start out as an outfitter?
Yeah, actually, how I started out was farming.
Okay.
Did a farming on a ranch when I was 18 years old, and it kind of turned into the guiding after that. And then it just stuck with guiding after that.
I got you. So you've guided multiple different species across the state of Texas.
Right.
Have you guided like outside of Texas, or has it all been here?
No, it's basically been here,
I got you.
majority of it.
What's one of your favorite things to put people on?
Sorry.
You good?
It's usually axis and whitetail are my favorite two.
Yeah, you do a lot of those. Axis mainly in the spring and summer.
Spring, summer, and they will do some in the winter too, but there's a lot more axis bucks in the summertime than there is in the winter.
Yeah, and then for the people that are watching and listening, the deer behind us all came off of this ranch, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So Chris has a wide variety of different animals, axis, black buck, fallow, scimitar, attics, gemsbok, sable, sheep,
Springbok,
impala.
Impala, Peter David.
Yeah.
There's quite a
Yeah,
few.
he's got a wide variety of animals. And what I like about how Chris does his stuff is it's a wide range of prices. So you've got something for just about any budget out there for every hunter, from your guy that may save up 2 or 3 years to go on one hunt every 5 years to a guy that makes six figures or more, seven figures, 6 to 7 figures or more a year, that wants to come out for a nice place to have a buddy hunt or a retreat of some sort with customers, clients, employees, things like that.
Right. Yeah, I mean we could start it off as low as, $2,000 to as high as 18,500. It just depends on what species you're looking for.
Yeah. And here at Lone Creek, you guys have the ability to house what, 10, 8?
Yeah, 8 to 10 people, if you bring your wives or girlfriends or something like that, the number can go up a little bit, up for, because of bedding.
Yeah. And you're not, whenever you come to this ranch, you're not getting just a rundown lodge. Like, this place is very well kept. Chris and the guys that work here on the ranch, they take very good care of this place. They treat it as if it's their own home. You're not going to sleep in a bed that somebody else just slept in 2 days before and dirty sheets and stuff like that. They wash all the sheets. They take care of all of it. And it really shows in the pride of their work. The way you kind of guide and do things is a little different than most people, right? So you get paid more so on your taxidermy and tip side than you do on your guiding.
Yes, because here when we run this ranch, I don't upcharge any animal. So the owner of this ranch, he wants a set price for whatever species it is, and that's what I sell the species for. I don't upcharge it in any way whatsoever. I make my money off of this by tips, like I said. And we can do it several different ways. We can hunt out of stands. A lot of people was liking the safari style slash spot and stop because I have several valleys on the place, and we'll do it that way because anybody can go anywhere except the stand, and it's a little bit more fun shooting across valleys. And you're shooting anywhere from 100 to 250 yards tops across these valleys. But other than that, yeah, I mean, after we get it done, we'll skin quarter. If you want help or learn how to do it, I mean, I'll give you some advice on how I do it. And I mean, I'll do it unless you want to get in the mix of it and try to show you. I mean, everybody does it 100 different ways. So,
What, speaking about skinning and doing all that stuff, kind of let's dive into the taxidermy work as well as the ranch, but the taxidermy side of it, you're pretty fairly priced across the board for your industry. I mean, I've seen some people charge as much as $1,500 to $2,000 for a shoulder mount, and then I've seen, you know, the bottom of the barrel, $300 or $400. You're that middle of the road and still producing excellent quality. I've had a lot of clients bring their stuff to you, and not one of them has ever complained about, you know, the quality of work. They've always said that you've done exceptionally well. You've taken very good care of them. You've gotten their stuff back to them on a timely manner. Kind of dive into like how you want stuff brought into you or what you recommend for good trophy prep.
well, the biggest thing is a lot of people, when y'all are gutting y'all's animals, you don't have to cut it all the way through the brisket up the neck. Because now, if it's a short-haired animal, I'm going to have to sell it. And there's no way to hide that on your mouth. So, I mean, don't go that. You don't have to go that far. Reach up in there, pull all the vital organs, everything out that way, because it's going to make your mouth look a whole lot better at the end. What I do personally is I sock them. So, I mean, I don't even gut the animals. That way, I have no cut mark anywhere near that brisket area. If you can sock it, if you don't, I understand. You know, if you gut an animal and take it to a processor and they do the rest of it, you know, a lot of people do that, which the processors, they don't cut, you know, the brisket through the neck. So, I would highly recommend to do it that way. You know, stop. I mean, you might be a little bloody, but it's going to help you in the long run. As far as, you know, pricing on mounts and stuff, oh yeah, ours is very reasonable. I mean, for like this year for 2024, our whitetail shoulder mounts are 675 plus tax. You know, wall pad, you add $50, and I mean, it just depends on the animal. I mean, and our turnaround rate is very high. You know, I mean, I may tell you 9 months to a year, you may get a phone call back in 6 months. And then, you know, everybody's happy. And then, depending on where you live throughout the country, you know, we have our own shipper that we use that all they do is ship taxidermy. So you do not have to worry about UPS or FedEx or something like that throwing something on your porch and breaking anything. But other than that, that's basically how that works.
So, whenever you talk about socking it out, you mean just cut it? Where do you like them to cut their animal to start rolling it down? Do you like to cut out like mid belly?
I would go back towards their hips just in case they want a wall pad, something like that. Or if you change your mind in the process of bringing it to me, you know, you said you wanted a shoulder mount. If you cut the hide up towards the front shoulders or mid belly, might not have enough hide to do a wall pad. So, I mean, I can always cut more off later. So if you at least start at the back hips and go forward from there, you know, if you do want a regular shoulder mount, I can cut the rest of that off. There's no difference, you know.
So it's always better, you know, for our listeners, it's always better to leave more for the taxidermist
Right.
than to take or than to bring him not enough, because you can't add cape to it. You can take cape away, but you can't add to
Right.
it. Do you prefer your stuff to come, or whenever a client brings something into you, do you prefer it to come in like fleshed and the lips and ears turned, or do you prefer them just to bring it to you as it's as soon as they're done skinning and caping it? And then letting like a professional like your tannery or you guys flesh it out.
Right, you don't have to flesh anything. You know, just skin it, bring it in. If you're not comfortable skinning faces off, we'll take care of all that for you too. It's part of it. You know, there's no extra for skinning faces. And if, I mean, if you are not familiar with skinning faces, you know, please don't do it. Because some of them tear ducts on different animals are real deep, and you start cutting them tear ducts out. I mean, there's nothing really we can do to fix it. I mean, put a little paint in there and try to hide it, but yeah.
So what sets, you know, like outlaw taxidermy apart from, and this isn't throwing shade or like talking down on any other taxidermists, but what sets you guys apart from any other taxidermists? Because you kind of live in a saturated market for taxidermy, right? You live in the Texas Hill Country. It seems to me like there's a taxidermist on every corner in this area. So why should people bring their stuff to you versus, take it to their taxidermist back home if they're from like out of state or something like that?
Well, the I mean, just the hassle of having to cross state lines or wherever you came from, transporting it, especially if it's hot in summertime, messing up your hide. With ours is, like I said, the pricing is real great on it. The turnaround is real fast, and we're, if you call us, we're not one of those taxidermists, not saying they do that, but we're going to communicate with you, if you call and have any questions whatsoever, if we don't get in contact with you that day, we will by the next day, just depending on phone calls and messages getting back while we're working, doing everything. But you'll definitely have answers and not have to worry about, I mean, are they still working on my stuff? Where is it? How's the process going on it? We're really good at communicating. And that's the biggest thing that I've learned throughout the years doing this, the communication. So.
And that's one thing that my clients that I've taken their stuff to Chris have always praised him the most about is like he does great work, but he also lets us know and fills us in like every step of the way of like, hey, your stuff just got back from the tannery. We're almost done with that. We're starting the rough in process. Hey, we're doing finish work this week. You'd be expecting your stuff to be done within the next couple of weeks. And I've dealt with a lot of taxidermists, and to get some of them to even so much as answer the phone. Granted, I understand a lot of them are busy and they've got, tons of stuff going on. But I've been into Chris's shop and it's like, you've had probably close to 1,200 inches of antler in your shop at one point in time, and you're still like answering the phone, working on this, that, and the other, getting, rough in or finish work done. Chris has no problem answering the phone and explaining, like, hey, this is where we're at with it. Some taxidermists, you might not hear from them for 2 years before your stuff's even close to being done.
I mean, just like for example, this year, I mean, I'm almost done with November of 2023. And this is March of 2024. And I mean, we took a lot of stuff in, but we don't skip ahead of anybody. We do them in order, So another thing we like to do is if you have a group, and you brought us, 2 to 5, 10 animals, we try to get everything done at the same time. Now, I mean, it might be in some cases if you bring several of them, and depending on how you wanted them mounted, I mean, of course, like stag, elk, stuff like that, it's going to take a little bit longer than a whitetail or axis or fallow or, some of the smaller animals. But, as soon as we get done with them, we'll send you pictures and let you know it's ready, and then we'll decide, I won't decide. You'll decide if you want to come pick it up or you want us to ship it. And then it takes a few weeks for the truck to get here. We'll load everything up and it'll get shipped to wherever you are in the country.
Yeah. So when Chris ships stuff, it's not just, it may not just be your item, your amount. It could be five or six other people's
Right.
stuff. And that shipper will go to different points, wherever on that route, and you will get your stuff. And your shipping rates are not that high. I've seen people charge an exuberant amount of money to ship mounts, and it's like, I don't understand where that extra cost comes from, other than, some items are a little bit bulkier. A red stag is obviously going to cost more than a whitetail to ship,
Right. Yes.
or like a Gemsbok or a Scimitar, just because they do take up so much surface area. But what kind of tips do you have as far as like coming from a guide and a taxidermist, do you have for people that are either looking to book a hunt or they just finished out caping their animal. Maybe they're not comfortable with caping the face out yet. What kind of tips do you have from field to your office do you have for the listeners?
We'll start with just, bringing stuff to me if you want to get it just to mount it for you. If, like you said, if you're not comfortable doing the face, anything like that, is if you can skin it out, or if you take it to whatever processor, any processor is going to ask you, do you want the cape, you mounting this, you just want the flat hide, however you want to do it. And once you tell them that, you get that, and then what they'll do is they'll skin it down to its head, not its face, but just down to its head, and they'll put all of it in a bag. and then put it in a freezer until you come back to pick it up and take it wherever you want to take it. If you're here in Junction, you can go to, Kimball Processing or wherever here. There's a couple of them here in town. If you're here, all you got to do is let them know Outlaw Taxidermy, and then you don't have to do anything from it from that point. You just have to call me or my wife and tell us, hey, I've just dropped this off at Kimball Processing, wherever. This is my number, because they're going to give you a number for every animal that comes in. And as long as we have that number, we can pick it up. Well, we go over there and pick up every Thursday during deer season. And then after deer season, for exotics and stuff, they'll call or y'all call and tell me, and we'll go pick it up on a Thursday, because that's the day we pick up on Thursdays. Now, booking a hunt with me out here at Lone Creek Ranch, it's pretty simple. How I do it is, it doesn't matter if there's one person or eight people or 10 people that are coming. We do a $500 deposit that holds your dates. The only way you lose your $500 is if you don't show up. And then also at that same time, though, if you tell me, if you call me and tell me, hey, I want to shoot a, up to a 36-inch axis buck, and once you get here, I'm not holding you to that animal. So if you get here and see something else and say, hey, I want to shoot this instead of that, there's no, no problem with that whatsoever. So at the end of the hunt, we settle up at the end, because I have people do that all the time. And then of course your 500 comes off of your lodging and your animal cost of what you did. I mean, other than that, I mean, that's basically how it works. I mean, the biggest deal is just getting the dates, especially during summertime, because it's axe season. People are hitting me up all the time, filling up, and we do it weekdays or weekends. It does not matter. Holidays as well, except usually we don't do anything Christmas Day or Thanksgiving Day, stuff like that. But I can get all around it wherever you need to be. They're usually 2 day, 3 night hunts, or I'm sorry, 2 night, 3 day hunts. We do not double book anybody. So say you wanted a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you have Friday, all day Friday till all day Sunday. I'm not one of those that's going to tell you got to be here Friday at noon and you're getting kicked out at noon on Sunday. So you have all 24 hours in all 3 days. And it's up to you when you get here, and it's up to you when you leave.
And that's one thing I really like. I've been to other ranches where you're gonna have party one of three hunting this ranch, and then you'll have another party of four, three or four hunting the same ranch, and then, oh well, I accidentally triple booked, so I've got another group of people coming in as well, kind of overlapping those two hunts. Whenever you book a hunt with Chris out here, it's literally your party, whether it's just you. You and your wife, you and your buddies, you and your girlfriends, whatever. It's you guys and this ranch and Chris here. There's the workers, right? There's a few laborers that work out here that
Right.
they kind of maintain and take care of the yards, take care of the feeders, that kind of stuff. But it is only you here. You're not going to get overbooked or overlapped. If you wanted to bring yourself, or you wanted to bring you and seven buddies. Six buddies, however many, it is just you guys chasing the animals that you want to chase. Which that also goes to show the amount of respect that Chris has for his clients and his people that come in. It takes away from it whenever you have three or four different groups of people, or two or three groups of people coming in, because then it's like, are these two people going to mesh well together? Is there some bad blood somewhere that nobody knows about because they didn't know that they were getting booked on top of? So that's what's nice about coming out here and helping Chris, is it's really just kind of like a big family hunt. Everybody gets together, hangs out, you get to know the clients, and everybody just kind of hangs out and has a good time.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, everybody's has a good time. I mean, I've never really had anybody, not have a good time. Some people do, axis is one of the hardest things to hunt. It doesn't matter if it's high fence or low fence. And some people start getting a little discouraged. It takes us some time, but we always get them done, the best that we can. I mean, it just depends on what you're coming for. Some animals are that are easier to hunt, like oryx and gemsbok and rams and stuff like that. So it's just, I mean, you gotta give me a little bit of time to do it. I mean, these animals are not on a leash,
Not
You
at
know,
all.
I mean, some of them you might look at and say, okay, yeah, these are a little easier than others, but you know, but there's nothing out here on a leash. So
No, and the axes out here are some of the wildest axes I've ever seen. We've pulled you. Well, I've been out here while you've been guiding axes, and it's you've had to pull some tricks out of the hat to get it done.
oh yeah.
Like standing over the canyon, chunking a rock in, hoping they're, you know, and sometimes they're in there, and sometimes they're a canyon over, you know, tucked up in that thick brush. And that's the thing about this place that I like a lot is you go to some high fences and it's flat country, right? Like you can see every animal from standing on the front porch of the lodge. Out here, you've got some rolling hills, some deep valleys, some nooks and crannies that these animals can just get into and disappear. And it makes this place a whole lot more challenging to hunt. Well, I would say it's even more challenging to hunt than West Texas. You know, the mountain, Presidio, Candelaria, Marfa,
Yeah.
Valentine, those areas where you've got the rolling hills. It's big, steep country, but out here you're getting those rolling hills with the thick brush. And some of those animals, I mean, shit, last time we were out here, we drove past what, a 200 and something inch whitetail that was bedded down 15, 20 yards off the road.
Oh, yeah.
And like, had we not stopped where we did, we never would have seen him. He bedded down right there and tucked up, and he wasn't moving.
Oh. And then Max is smart. I mean,
Yes.
once we start really going after them here, you know, this March, late next month, you know, they're going to figure out all of our tricks, especially if we're doing the safari style slash spot and stops. They're going to start getting into place like they do every year, and you know, it's going to get harder before it gets better.
Yeah, if you want, so if somebody wanted to book a Texas hunt out here with you, when would be the best time to call and set it up? And then when would be the best time of year to come hunt an axis at Lone Creek?
Well, like for this year right now, the sooner you do it, the better, because the dates are booking up. But if you want velvet, if you're kind of in between velvet and hardhorn, April's a great time to do it. If you want hardhorn, May, June, July, August, September, October, you know, we try to get most of the axis hunts done before whitetail season starts off, because then we're fo more focused on the whitetail, you know. So we still have a good 5 months, 5, 6 months worth of hunting them. And like I said, I mean, it's during the week, weekends, it doesn't matter. All you gotta do is give me a call. I make posts on Facebook every now and then. Like I said, my name's Chris Leonard. The phone number to get the call to get it booked up, or at least talk to me, we can try to set something up. It's 254-444-6890.
Perfect. Yeah, and we'll put that in the product or the podcast description as well, his number and how to get a hold of him. What is it about the axis that you enjoy chasing out here, as opposed to like, you know, it's not like axis are the only thing out here, or whitetail are the only thing out here. You've got a wide variety of animals that you could pick from that would be a favorite, but I always see you kind of lean into the axis a little more.
Because they're always keeping me on my toes. Nothing's ever the same. You know, they may be going running this area right here, and then the next day there's nothing. I mean, you're going somewhere else trying to find them, trying to push them out. You know, it's just like feeding patterns. If you try to get on them in the stand, the axis is not a patterned animal. I mean, you may have them going to one feeder for a week or two, and then it dries up. You won't see them again there for a month. And they'll be going somewhere else. So that's what I like about axes. I can't just go out there and say, hey, we're going to sit right here in this stand. You're going to get you a 33 to 35 inch axis buck, or we're going to go to this valley right here and we're going to shoot one right here. Because I can't do that, because they're never the same. I
They're
mean,
always changing.
it may work for a week or two until they figure out what I'm doing, and then they're gone. They're going somewhere else on the ranch. And that's what I like about them. You know, a lot of the other, I mean, like whitetail, they're patterned, you know. They're going to stay at that same feeder until you shoot that one, or you know, one that's right next to it. Then it may go somewhere else. I mean, it's a pattern animal, you know, just like fallow, black buck, all that stuff's patterned. So that's why I enjoy the axis.
Do you find your axes are they mainly hang out in those valleys, or is it just kind of like by happenstance that that's where you're finding a lot of them, or do you see them kind of traveling up here? So, kind of give a layout of the ranch. The lodge is up on a high point and then it rolls down to the bottom. And then you go up a big steep hill and around, and then you kind of run around the tops of the canyon. But the axis, every time I come out here, it always seems like, you might see a doe or two up on the top, but a majority of the bucks like to stay in that kind of low ranging or that low lying area of the range.
And they do. The weird thing about axes is usually, I mean, even on deer cams, when I'm running deer cams, most of the time when the axes come in, the feeders is either in the middle of the day from about noon till 2, 3 o'clock in the evening, or it's the middle of the night, or right at dark. So, I mean, like I said, they're smart. They know when we're not in there. They know, but I mean, we do catch them every now and then. They do come in, during regular feeding hours. I mean, especially, I mean, I've had a lot of guys come in and we're hunting something else. And then here come 10 axis bucks coming in that feeder while we're sitting in a stand, and they change their mind and they shoot a maxi buck kind of deal. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying, how unpredictable axes are. And I mean, I get a lot of people telling me, that's called me before. And first thing they ask me, is it a high fence or low fence? I want to shoot axes. I say, it's high fence. They say, oh, that's a canned hunt. That is not true by no means, not at all. But people have their certain ways and they want to do free range,
And I've always struggled with that with, talking to potential clients and stuff, because it's like, oh, well, it's high fence. That's too easy. Well, when you're hunting a place that's, as long as you're not hunting a place that's 50 acres or 10 acres or 5 acres of flat ground, or I mean, hell, even 10, 15, 20 acres of rolling hill, you're going to get maybe a hillside out of it. But a place like this, it seems like all the animals, they're not tame. The sheep, some of the goats, sheep, those, your Texas Falls, Black Hawaiians, the red sheep are a little weary out here,
Right,
even.
yeah. The red sheep and the old dad are the most leery sheep that's on this property.
The last time I was out here, it took us, what,
3 days.
3 days to get on one odd ed. All we had to do was kill one. And it came down to the last day, the last light, last 10 minutes of light. But there's this weird misconception that high fences are canned hunts or they're easy hunts. That, it's not really true. I know there's a lot of high fences that have given that a bad name, with being, those 5 or 10 acre kill pens. What I call them are kill pens. You go to the auction, you release 30 animals into a 10 acre kill pen. And then you have people come out on day hunts or afternoon hunts or whatever. This place isn't like that at all. You're not going to see something just standing there for very long, other than the Texas Dalls. The sheep were, those types of sheep have always kind of been a little more tame than your axis, your black buck, your fallow. Hell, even your addicts, like you pull up in the truck and they just kind of
Yeah,
scatter.
they'll kind of scatter around. Some of them don't, but and that's the weird thing about this place is, we could ride around in the Can-Am looking for axes, and we're gonna see everything you want to see. We'll see all these animals just standing there looking at us. As soon as you tell me, hey, I want to go after a fallow, we ain't finding a fallow.
No, they're gone.
I mean, it doesn't matter what we're going after. I mean, like I was going after Gemsbok a couple weeks ago, saw them things everywhere. And we were after, I don't even remember what we were after. I think, I don't even remember what we were after. But, oh, we were after a red sheep. That's what it was. We were going after a big old red sheep ram. And as soon as the client said, hey, I'm interested in a Gemsbok, never saw another one until the next day. And I mean, we even saw them 30 minutes prior to this. And it's just that, and they have a sense. They know what I'm going for. And they disappear. And I mean, with these valleys being as thick as these valleys are, that makes it more fun. That's what makes it a whole lot more fun too. Other than, like you're saying, just flat land and we can just drive and pin them in a corner and shoot them. You actually got to work for it. And there's gonna be some hiking, not a lot of hiking, but there's gonna be some hiking in it. If you choose to do the valley, spot and stock safari style mix.
And that's what I like about this place, is it is kind of a build your own adventure. If you've got some mobility issues, or if you don't really feel like walking around, and maybe the safari style is not your thing. Chris, how many blinds you guys got? You got
Eight.
eight blinds that you can choose from and go sit in. And you're gonna see animals that ever you want. Whether it's your target animal, it's hard to tell because they're not, these animals aren't specific to a specific feeder. They kind of bounce around and hit each different place as they wander through the range. Or if you want to do the spot and stalk, I've been with Chris on a couple hunts where we've had to get out of the side by side of the truck and go dive off into the valley, go bump some axes around to get them to run up on the other side for the clients to get a shot. And then, the safari style, that's always fun because it always seems like you never know what you're going to see around that next bend. The roads, it's not like you're on one long straight road and you're going through a couple pins and then you're, no, this is all an open area that's got rolling hills and valleys like we were talking about. But it seems like every time you go around one of those curves, it's like, oh, dude, look, that was a great black buck standing there. Like, oh, damn, look at that fallow. He's just like hanging out, looking all pretty in the sunset and stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, that get you a lot. As soon as you think it's dying down, we ain't seeing anything. It might take us 20, 30 minutes, and then all of a sudden, hey, here we are.
Yeah.
We found something. Might not be what you're going after, but we found something.
We found something to look at that'll get your gears turning, kind of like, oh man, could I shoot one of those? Do I need one of those on my wall?
And that is one thing I do tell a lot of people when they come out here. If you are set for whatever species it is, axis, fallow, black buck, whatever it is. And I always tell people, once we start going after, especially safari slash spot and stalking them, if you see one you like, you better take him. Because the odds of us finding that particular animal again, the 3 days you're here, are kind of slim to none, depending on the species.
Well, look at that axis that you guided last year that I was here for. The guy saw him day one and was like, oh, I really like him, but I'll wait till we see another one. We never saw, and that was a giant. He was tall, great mass, huge tines, and we never saw him again. The guy ended up shooting, I think, like a 30, 33 or 32 or somewhere in that neighborhood. He was a good axis, and but like Chris was saying, if you see something whenever you come out here, that's the time to pull the trigger because you may not ever see that one again on that hunt. So going back into like the taxidermy stuff, what is one of your favorite animals to mount? One that's maybe the most enjoyable, or whenever you get done with them, you're like, wow, that these turn out great every time, like slam dunk, home run type deal.
I prefer the, either the whitetail, of course. Whitetail's one of my favorite animals. White-tailed axes are. And axes is my other top end one. Stag look real good. I mean, they're pretty good. I mean, there's not really a particular animal that's better than all the rest of them. It's just I guess it'd be just what I like more than all of, which would be whitetail and axis. Black buck, oh man, those are beautiful mounts. Them black bucks, especially you do wall pads on them. I mean, them are some really, really beautiful mounts.
Because there's a good contrast with black buck. You've got like that kind of that amber golden color on the back of their neck, and then it transitions down into that real dark black or that kind of chocolatey brown, and then that white underbelly on them.
Oh yeah.
I've always thought black buck looked just phenomenal as pedestals. Whether you do kind of like a whiskey barrel pedestal or even a wall pedestal, I think they're
Oh yeah. It shows a little bit of that side on there. I mean, they're beautiful.
And then same thing with the axis. Like I see more and more axis pedestal mounts than I do axis shoulder mounts. And I oftentimes wonder, is that just because people want more of that hide stretched out look, or is it just kind of the way the axis fits best on that form?
No, it's because of the color. They want all the spots as much as they can. I mean, they do the same thing with fallow. If it's a spotted fallow, they're doing most of the people that shoot spotted fallow that we does wall pads. Chocolate and solid white, not so much because there's not the color there. So I mean, I think that's the biggest deal on them for axes is the color, is the spots. Because I mean, just like whitetail, I mean, we don't do very many wall ped whitetails. I mean, we do wall ped whitetails. But I mean, it's just the same color. There's nothing changing it.
Right. There's hardly ever any variant. A whitetail is that gray or that reddish color with the white, the throat, and that's pretty much it all the way across the back. Where would you say? Well, let me back that up. Do you try to, okay, let's say a client brings you an axis, right? A customer brings you an axis for taxidermy. Do you try to push them into that wall pedestal? Or do you try to figure out like how much wall space do you have? What room, where are you putting it? Anything like that? Or is it, just like, hey, what are you looking to get out of your mouth?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to try to push anybody on how they want to do their mount to begin with. I mean, that's yours. You shot it. That's your trophy for the rest of your life. So basically, there's only one thing I need to know at the beginning of it is if you want a shoulder mount, a wall ped, a half body, a full body, however you want it done. I mean, even if you said I just want a shoulder mount, you can tell me later if you want it to turn left, right, straight on. Wall ped, you can tell me later. You want it going left, right, whichever way. If it's a half body, you want to stand on a rock or however you want it done. You can tell me that later. I just got to have those front ones to get the process going because when we do it, we'll send you an invoice saying this is how much it's going to cost to do it. So once I get it, there's a 50% deposit up front. And then that's what gets it started. So by the time I get it back from the tanner, which we have good turnarounds on that, so it's not something that you're going to be waiting, 18 months to get back. Like I said, I mean, I'm going to tell you 9 months to a year, there's a very good possibility you'll get it back in or somewhere around the 6 month range. I'm not telling you everybody's going to get back in that 6 month range, but I mean, that's normally where we are, but that 9 months to a year is still, I mean, you're not going to go past a year. You're going to get it before that.
And that's
But then once I get your hide back before I order your form, I'll call you if you haven't decided yet, if you want it left, right, which way you want this form going. And I can call you or text you back. You can call me back at your earliest convenience after that before I order your form. And you can kind of picture your house or wherever you're going to put it and kind of go, hey, I want it turned left or I want it right or I want it straight on or however. And then that's where we'll go forward on that. And then once it's completed, like I said, we'll take pictures of it. We'll send it to you and then we'll send you the last invoice to be able to pay for it. And then we decide if you want to ship it, you want to come get it and go from there.
And that's something maybe a lot of people don't understand is your taxidermy studio is not it's not a giant warehouse full of 500 mounts. You are a small family owned and operated. Like you do a majority of the work. Your wife does like the back end stuff, the talking to clients. They can talk to you as well, but your wife kind of handles the back end, the books. And you focus on getting their mounts done. It's not one of those deals where you have, 10 employees and you are kind of a one family run operation. And that's pretty neat to see. I mean, I've been into some taxidermy studios that are bigger than a Walmart and it's nuts. I mean, they crank out a lot of work and they get a lot of stuff done, but you are literally going to wait 2 to 5 years to get your one mountain back.
Oh yeah, I get a lot of people that, even new clients that I get out here. They might live in big cities, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, or big cities elsewhere across the country, and tell me, hey, what am I going to do? Get it back in 2 to 3 years? Like, no, sir, or no, man, whichever one. You're going to get your stuff back, and they're like, all right, whatever, and they'll do their deposit and all that. Then they're calling, and I'll call them back, whenever it's done in that shorter amount of time. And they're like, hey, what's wrong? Did something happen to my stuff? And I was like, no, sir, no, ma'am, it's done. Here it is. I'm like, there's no way. And I'll ask them, you want it shipped or anything? And they say, no, you know what? I'm coming down there. I'm gonna bring you some more. And they'll go to different taxidermy because it's happened a lot. They'll go to some other big city place, that are charging twice what we are. They'll grab their stuff and bring it to me, and they'll tell me, "Hey, finish this too, and call me when you're done." So I get a lot of that. That's why I say our prices are really good versus, somebody going to charge you almost twice. I mean, you're going to get the same exact thing at faster time and great work.
Yes. And that's, there's a lot of taxidermy places, they'll do fast work, but it's not great, or they'll be really slow and they'll put out great work. But Chris is that perfect blend of, he's got great prices, great work, great turnaround. You're going to get your stuff back and you're going to go, damn, like I was not expecting to get this thing back this soon. And not only that, but holy shit, does it look good? It looks phenomenal. And that's, something I said earlier too, was like, I have yet to have a customer say, oh, I didn't like the way Chris did that. They've all said like, this mount turned out way better than I ever expected. Well, and even you did one for a client of mine where he's a taxidermist back home in his home state. And you sent his hide off to get wet tanned. You sent his head, or you had his head euroed and cleaned up for him. And we shipped all that back to him. And he was like, he was impressed by how well the skull was cleaned, how well the hide was taken care of. He said, his tannery back home, whenever he takes stuff over there, it gets holes cut in it. Hide starts slipping off of it. He's like, I've never had a piece that was done this well, this fast from my local tannery. And I told him, like anytime you get something that you need done, just ship it down here. Chris will, send it to his people, his tannery, and then they'll ship it back to you. So hopefully, that turns out some work for you from him for next year.
Yes.
And that's kind of the whole point of this podcast, is to make those connections, right? From guides and outfitters, ranch owners, taxidermists to clients. I want anybody that listens to this to know that you can reach out to any one of our guests and get connected in somewhere, somehow, whether you're looking to book a hunt, whether you're looking for a good taxidermist, a quality, reputable taxidermist, a good ranch to go to, things like that. And that's kind of why this whole thing started. And it's really nice to have somebody like Chris on, especially early in the process of this podcast, is because it gives the listeners something to think about whenever they're taking their stuff to a taxidermist. Hey, is this taxidermist going to take care of my stuff? Is my stuff going to get done right? Is my turnaround time going to take half a decade before I ever see the product again?
Yeah.
What would you say? Because there's this kind of weird misconception on taxidermy that it's like 100% profit.
No.
Taxidermy materials, the forms, we were talking one day, you said like the eyes are like going up crazy expensive. The hangers are getting real stupid expensive anymore.
The forms itself is expensive. If you want like floor pads, anything like that, that stuff is high. I mean, that's why a lot of people are now charging, $1,300 for a shoulder mount. But then that's one good thing about down here, because where I'm at is in the hill country. So stuff's always coming in. It's not just people from the bigger cities coming down here and then some of them taking them back, and now they're having to pay their whole, for their business itself, their electric bill, their light, all that kind of stuff for this big old thing that's in the middle of Austin, Texas, or wherever it is, because I'm sure, building in there is outrageously expensive.
Yeah, to rent for a studio or even a bot.
I mean, they're probably spending, I mean, I have no idea, don't quote me on this, anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000 a month to keep that thing up and running, which I don't have that. So I can make our prices down. I mean, yeah, I'll make a little bit of money doing it.
Sure, we
I
wouldn't.
mean, more than 50% of it is equipment, or not equipment, but the forms, the eyes, the tanning cost, everything else in there. So, I mean, I'm not making a lot of money on this. It's just another way to go and, trying to make my deal a one stop turnaround, from the time you get here to you kill your animal to you get it back.
A good one-stop shop.
Yeah. The only thing I don't do is the meat processing. I mean, I'll quarter it up, put it in your coolers. You come in, that takes a week, 2 weeks, wherever you're at. So I mean, there's no sense in doing that here unless you live close to here and then having to ship it, because that's very expensive to get meat shipped to wherever you're going.
Yeah, next day or same day
Yeah.
air. It's
Yeah.
not cheap.
So most people, like I said, they put in their coolers, they take it home with them. And I take the hides and the horns and I finish it up for him.
Yeah. What, do you have any like tips or tricks or anything? Any final words of advice for the listeners about either picking a reputable ranch to hunt with, a reputable taxidermist? Do you have anything like that, kind of as a closing thoughts?
Well, what I tell my new clients that I get is, I'm going to be straight up honest with you from the get-go because I don't want to waste your time or, we waste each other's time out here running for something that I don't have. And like I said, when we do a $500 deposit, I used to do the whole handshake thing and then stuff happens and then people will call you a day or two before their hunt, say, hey, I can't make it. Now I just lost time that someone else asked me for the same dates and said it was already booked. So we do, like I said, we do a $500 deposit and that holds your dates. And then, a lot of ranches, they want all their money up front. As soon as you walk in the door, hey, I want paid no matter if you shoot or not. I don't believe that's right. I mean, people work hard for their money just like I do. You come in, say you want this, and you shoot something else, or you don't shoot anything at all, I'm not charging you for that. Now if we shoot something and we find blood, bone, or hair, that's considered a killed animal. I mean, I'm not just going to go out there and track it for 10 minutes and tell you, hey, oh, can't find it. I mean, we're going to go after it. And if for some reason we still are not coming up with anything, I have guys that I call that come out with dogs. It's on your expense, but it's usually 98% that you're going to get your animal. And then another thing I try to do to people is say we brought dogs out and still didn't find it, and if I find it out here a few weeks later, I will call you and tell you, hey, I found your animal. I mean, at that point, all you can do is have a head. So either we can euro it for you, or depending on what it was, I mean, I may have a cape that'll fit it and we can still mount it. It'd be just a different cape, not the cape that was actually on that animal. So the main thing that I'm saying is, like I said, I just want to be upfront and honest with everybody. Like I said, there's no sense in either one of us wasting time and get you on a good fun hunt, have some fun, have you some friends out, your wife, kids. Doesn't matter. I've had 6-month-old babies out here before. So
Well, that's the beautiful thing about this ranch is it is a family ranch. You could bring the kids out and put them on a hunt, the wife out, or bring a first-time hunter in your community out here, and they're going to be treated just as the same as some big-name guy on TV. Chris treats everybody kind of the same way, of like he's going to shake the janitor's hand at a corporation and the CEO's the same way. Everybody gets treated with the same amount of respect, no matter who you are or where you come from out here, which is what I really like about coming out here, is it is like one big family. So, Chris, if people wanted to get a hold of you, I know you plugged the phone number in a minute ago or a little bit ago, but if people wanted to find you guys, like social media accounts, emails, websites, anything like that.
Well, on the taxidermy, we do have a website. It's Outlaw Taxidermy LLC. Got to make sure you put that LLC in there. It's in Junction, Texas. We put some stuff on there. We don't put everything, but we do put some stuff on there just to kind of keep the page up and running real good. You can check us out on that for the taxidermy. And there's two phone numbers that you can call. It's either mine. Like I said, my name's Chris. It's 254-444-6890. Or you can call my wife. Her name's Amanda. And it's 254-444-7420 for the taxidermy. And then here at the ranch for Lone Creek Ranch here in Junction, which we're 2 miles outside of town. Again, that'd be my number again to get that. We have a website. The website is outdated. I'll be just 100% honest with y'all. I'm not real good with the technology stuff. So the most technology stuff that I do is Facebook post here and there. But it's Lone Creek Ranch in Junction, Texas. Like I said, it's a little outdated, just like the Facebook page. Facebook page is outdated too. I think the last thing we put on there was maybe last year or something. We put something on there. But I try. I mean, I don't get a whole lot of people through other stuff, most of all my stuff is word of mouth. Once people start coming out, I get all their friends. People call me all the time saying, hey, George or Bill or Bob or whoever it was said, hey, give you a call. Let's set something up. So I think word of mouth is a better, a better way to advertise than
Oh, for
anything
sure.
else, because now you're getting your friend or that's telling you that he just left. Not taking my word for it, taking his.
And you're more likely to book a hunt because a friend went and had a good experience than you are just a cold call. Like, hey, I'm looking at hunting this. There's a turnaround or a turnover rate on that. And I don't know the exact number, but you're I'm way more likely to book a hunt based on a friend's reference than you are just calling up a range. And that's a lot of Chris's clientele is repeats, referrals, stuff like that. Well, awesome, man. I appreciate having you on. I know we've got a busy weekend this weekend. We're gonna go chase some axes and some oryx and who knows what else. But I appreciate you coming on and look forward to hearing from you soon and seeing what else we get into.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Yes, bye.